This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 457. Bruce. Yes, Mr. Bruce. Lavender.
We haven't got much content today. Speak slow.
Speak slow. Okay. Hi, and welcome.
Hang on. It's not one of your dark table videos. Not quite that slow.
Have you been watching my dark table video?
No, but I can just assume.
Oh, okay. Hi, and welcome to episode 457 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And the man rudely interrupting me on the other end of Skype is Mr. Glyn Lavender.
No,
from creativephotoworkshops.com.au. How are you?
Not me.
Yes.
Remember that March 31st date I was telling you about?
Yes.
December 31's looking good.
Right.
2016.
Right. So you've already quit.
Yes, that could be half the problem.
Does that mean it's been a rough week?
Oh, it's been a rough life. It's been a rough year.
Right.
Frankly, it's the end of year blues as well. It starts getting towards the end. It's like...
Right. Okay.
It's December. Do you know it's December, like in a week or so's time?
I know. It's crazy.
Just crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
so what have you been up to this week?
I was out in one of our local, moderately, like half an hour away, major shopping centres today, and I bumped into one of the parents of my daughter's friends who I play golf with from time to time.
Right.
And I saw him at a chat and blah, 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 blah. And he said, "Yeah, we haven't played golf once this year."
Wow.
And, I clearly remember playing with him. I thought it was like 3 months ago. It was over a year ago. So fast this year has gone.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Just crazy. Have I been? Let's see. I've been trying to shoot for this freaking Tamron lens.
Yeah.
Well, last Saturday I did a talk at Craigie Burn Camera Club first. All
right. Right.
Did lovely talk out there. Think about my week. Did lovely talk out there. I was okay. I was sensational.
Mm-hmm.
I had to read my own intro.
Right.
I write my own intro, but the guy just didn't give it sufficient gravitas.
Right.
You know? So I had to cut him off and read it myself, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. When your intro starts off with every once in a while a photographer comes along whose very presence improves our skill tenfold.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want some gravitas behind that sentence.
Yeah.
And he was reading it like this. I had to cut. Yeah, of course the following line is, unfortunately we couldn't get anyone like that today, but when he got clean. So a nice little couple hour chat with the folks out at Craigieburn, which was
nice.
I pumped out the podcast to them again, as I always do at the talk. So you never know, there might be an extra listener there,
right?
Or we might have lost a couple. I'm not sure. So I did that. What did I do? I went out a couple of evenings to try and get a sunset.
Okay.
Nothing.
Right.
I got up early one morning trying to get a sunrise.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right.
Yeah, it's one of those. Remember last week, the Facebook post was it's 4:05.
Yeah.
The weather forecast is 30 to 40% chance of rain. If I go out, I'll get wet. If I stay home, it'll be perfect. Well, this week I woke up, it was 5 a.m. I slept in a bit because I wasn't traveling as far.
Right.
And 0% chance of rain.
Right.
Zero. So I drove for the hour and a half.
Yep.
To the location. At hour 25 mark, it started raining.
Oh, you're kidding.
Didn't stop for like an hour. it was just spitting. It was just that little spitty bit of rain. And I was it's not too bad. It's not going to do much for sunrise, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got out of the car and the spit went into that, that really soft drenching rain. It's not really raining, but you get wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did that. So I was the furthest distance away from the car I could be. Then it bucketed down. So then you do the mad panic rush back to the car, you know, and it's like, oh, God. So that was another just complete and utter waste of a half a day. And petrol's at $1.75 a litre.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it's costing money to drive around these bloody places. Now, it's 3 hours of driving.
Yeah.
in an SUV, which, you know, isn't the most fuel economic going around.
Yeah.
And so there was, $30 or $40 of petrol blown that day driving around.
Yeah.
And it's like, for nothing, you know? Yeah. Absolutely nada.
Yeah, right.
And so that was good. Then it was looking really promising for a sunset on Monday night. It was looking really good.
Yeah.
So I dropped the kid off at Cubs. Yeah, I had like a 2-hour window as the sun was setting to get out there and shoot.
Yeah.
Zipola.
As in just, no clouds?
Just nothing. even the blue hour was like light blue. It was bland blue.
Right.
And then whilst the other kid on Wednesday night, whilst the kiddo was out at stage school, this is the other problem. You've got to take these kids to all these damn events.
Yeah.
And at stage school, I had the other one with me, and we found this lovely grassy area with this beautiful, it was really long grass, and beautiful backlight coming through. And so I did a couple. I got one nice enough shot of her sort of walking down this hill, trying to stomping her feet to not be bitten by snakes.
Yeah.
She's walking through knee-high grass at 35-degree temperature, which is, in a really remote unvisited location, so
right.
There's not going to be many people to scare them away.
Yeah.
So I got a couple, one or two nice shots of that.
And not many people to help you out if you do get bitten.
Oh, no, you're a fair way away, down a canyon. Yeah. And, but of course, it's the sky is completely white. It's washed out to nothing. It's got quite a nice, like, if you're doing a catalogue photo, maybe for a fashion magazine shot, it's got that kind of feel to it. But I don't know. So I've got one decent shot this week, maybe. And deadline's November 25. So I've got to finish off in a couple of days.
Yeah, right.
And this last 2 weeks, I've just not shot anything decent. It's just nothing.
Wow. Happening.
I mean, like the classic. Again, we've gone from pouring rain. It was 41 degrees today. 41 degrees, cyclonic winds.
Yeah.
Massive dust storms. You couldn't even stand up straight to even try and attempt to take a photo.
Right.
Forget the thought of even possibly using a tripod.
Yeah.
We're talking 100-plus kilometre-an-hour winds easily. Yeah. It just and, of course, grit and crap flying everywhere. It's just so on. So, and then the cool change hits. It goes from 41 degrees down to 20 degrees.
Oh.
Yes. It drops 21 degrees in about 40 minutes. Yeah. Which is astounding. So, and it starts to rain, of course, and now it's raining. But you got these low rain clouds, which are kind of cool. They were grey, but above them in the upper stratosphere was all red, the dust.
Oh, nice.
So it looked like you were on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Your upper atmosphere was red, and your lower clouds were drifting across it. It was a pretty freaky, but because I guess where I'm in the middle of suburbia, bloody piano class. So no chance of getting the shot. So it's just been utterly frustrating.
Yeah, again. I can imagine.
All because they won't give me a budget to go somewhere where in 2 or 3 days I could hit a bunch of great scenic locations and get a couple of decent bloody landscape shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, so I've got to drive around cruddy, boring Victoria in the middle of weird, wild weather,
Oh, dear.
One part of Victoria today, so about 300 kilometres from here, so it was at 180 miles from here, about a 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
It was 41 degrees here. It was 14 degrees there.
Yikes.
14. This is on the beach, down by the beach.
Yeah,
14
right.
degrees. So we're 41. That's a fair discrepancy inside the one little state.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting bloody week, as you could imagine. But I visited a few nice areas, stomped around trying to get bitten by snakes, went down to a waterfall, and it was boring, don't like any of the shots, just nothing.
I'm guessing that with these, lens launch sample images, you're not allowed to use any filters either.
Can't use filters because it affects so you can't use filters.
Yep.
I tell you what, if I'd been shooting it with a 20mm lens, there were some awesome shots this week.
Right.
Shooting with a 35mm lens?
Yeah.
There wasn't. Yeah. The things that look great in 20mm look just bland as all get out at 35. Yeah, it's just astounding.
But doesn't everything look bland as all get out at 35?
Seems to be. Well, let's put it this way. Everything I shoot does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, it's. Yeah, I know you beggars can't be choosers, and it's nice to be asked to do this stuff, but my God, you want to put out some decent work.
Yeah.
So you're going to have your name on stuff. You want to have images that you're proud that represent what you do, and it's just not. Yeah. You're just gutted by what you have to produce for these people.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. You're embarrassed to provide these images because that's all you can bloody get.
Yep.
Yeah. So. That's woe is me. everyone send donations. First world problems.
Well, mate, I can sympathise because with all the fires that we've had in New South Wales over the last,
should have had some awesome sunsets.
Yeah. So for 2 days, I had my A7III and my 2875 on it in my backpack as I commuted from Gosford to Sydney and back. And for those 2 days, there was absolutely nothing worth stopping and shooting. So this morning before I left work, for work, I thought, screw it, I don't need this weight in my backpack. So I took the camera out and left it at home. Coming home tonight, the sun is just this solid red disc through the smoke that you could stare at for 30 seconds and not end up with sunspots on your retina, you know? It's that filtered. Oh. And I'm just like, oh, that would have been awesome.
Just so bloody typical, isn't it? You know, I waffle on about this too much when I'm driving along and my 8-year-old goes, well, it's just Murphy's. That's just Murphy's, Dad, you know.
That's it.
Oh, God. Here's a totally unrelated thing about to happen to me this week. Hmm. My aunt died.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
I didn't know her. I hadn't seen her since I was seven living in England. So, right. I don't really know the person.
Yeah.
So it's my dad's brother's wife. So it was a kind of connection to my dad.
Okay.
And she died. Within 24 hours, her husband, my uncle, died.
Wow.
It's just, yeah, you hear those stories all the time of, you know, the people together so long, and when one goes, the other goes, bam. Yep. So within 24 hours, the family lost, two lavenders. One of my dad's brothers, which, that was a bit upsetting.
Right.
Got me a bit more, not because I knew the guy, but because it was a connection to my dad,
Yeah, right.
That was a pretty emotional week for the lavender family in England.
Yikes.
Within 24 hours, that's tough to deal with, just getting over your mum, and not getting over, you just come to an understanding that your mum's gone and your dad goes as well,
Yeah, right. Wow.
Yeah, so it's a totally aside. And of course, my youngest daughter, she's so sensitive. Night, I'm going past the bedroom and I can hear these little crying noises. I look in and going, what's going on? She goes, nothing. So what's going on? She goes, nothing. I said, come on, what is it? She goes, my great aunt, my great uncle, and I'm pretty sure this other person's dead, and this person's dead. So she's thinking about all the people she knows. You know, she's talking about my dad, all the people she knows who are dead, and she's just laying there quietly crying to herself.
Right.
No histrionics, no trying to attention, just sitting there quietly weeping for these people. She probably can hardly remember my dad now, 2 years gone. Your kids, they do your head in.
Yes.
It's beautiful, but my God, that's a sensitivity that's going to not help you in life. It's going to be pretty tough, speaking of sensitivity and toughness, you know what the biggest rate of suicide is for any profession? Which profession has the highest rate of suicide?
Police officers?
Vets.
Is that right?
One every 6 days.
Yikes. Wow.
One vet in Australia. In Australia, one vet every 6 days commits suicide.
Wow.
Yeah,
Is that just because of the emotional trauma dealing with animals?
And having to put people's beloved pets to sleep.
Baby. Yeah, right. Wow.
People who've had their pet for 12, 15, 20 years, and it's their love, their biggest love in their life, and then you're the one who has to say no and put them down and stuff like that. It's got to be fairly tough to deal with.
Yeah. Wow.
Because you imagine, of course, the people who get into that occupation have a love of animals, you know, and your goal is to try and help them, not just keep killing them.
Yeah.
That's just going to be pretty tough. So, yeah, I mean, my local vet committed suicide a few years ago, our vet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she was a lovely lady, you know, and you never would have sensed anything like that. And,
wow.
Yeah, that's a completely off topic because we've got very little content today, so we're kind of like, you
know, well, we got a couple of things from Rob Coates.
Did we?
Yeah.
Has he sent me a poem? Has he sent a rejoinder?
He has not. But he did say, that photographer fails, YouTube's the best 12 minutes I've wasted in a long time. Some classic footage.
So we serve to make people's lives happier.
Yes.
And hopefully we did.
Yeah. And he also sent us a link to a story on the ABC's website here in Australia about the French tourist who tragically died trying to take a selfie at Na Muang Tu waterfall in Thailand, which, you know, I'm sorry to say, I don't have a whole lot of compassion for people like this. They climbed over, you know, barriers that were there for their safety and then falls down the waterfall and dies. I'm sorry. Well, you know, that's Darwinism at work. So, anyway.
A study published last year found 259 people around the world died attempting to take selfies between 2011 and 2017. It doesn't seem that many. I mean, I would have thought.
No, that's
more.
True. Yeah, you would frankly, expect there to be more. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I watch some of those YouTube videos of, and I don't mean to typecast, but they seem to be predominantly Eastern European countries where people climb up onto the, you know, the tallest spire of buildings that are still under construction and then, you know, shoot video of themselves hanging
balancing
off these things.
Down, yeah. Handstands. Yeah, I mean, it's like,
how many of those people fall that we never hear about?
Well, you hear, the people locally would hear that. Yeah.
That's it.
I saw there's a study the other day that I think 40% of all children under 12 surveyed about what they wanted to do with their life was to become a YouTube star.
Wow.
50% of all kids, that's their goal in life.
Wow. Good luck with that.
That only leaves 60% to watch.
That's right.
You're starting to run out of, your audience is starting to disappear, you know?
Exactly.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And we do have to say, congratulations to Adam.
Oh, yeah, I reckon.
He got himself a job.
Oh, pardon what?
He got himself a job.
Going to the unemployment office isn't a job, Adam. I know you go there a lot. It might feel like a job being in the queue all the time, but it's not really a job. Now, do we know what kind of job he got?
Well, I heard that he's going to be a librarian.
Go on.
Well, he's got all this research experience with the podcast, so...
Oh, that's insane. Yeah. Yeah, so. Well, he won't be a fact checker, will he? So he's been deliberately vague on Facebook,
he's been
it seems.
Very
he said
vague.
He's got a job.
Yeah.
But he doesn't say what he's doing.
No.
So it's either he's not very proud of it.
Well, I think he must have already started because he didn't submit any stories this week.
Maybe that was his job. Maybe someone's paying him not to.
Maybe that's it.
You know, hey, you know, if we get enough people not putting stuff in, maybe they'll stop. You know, people, there's only a few more months left, so just keep with it. Yeah. You know? but good on you, Adam. I mean, hopefully it's full time and it's something you want to be doing, and
absolutely.
It makes you happy. And he's one of the world's good guys, is Adam.
He is.
He's a lovely guy, and you know I don't say anything nice about someone unless I mean it.
Yep.
Unless I'm being facetious, and in this case, I wasn't being facetious. he's just a genuine good guy.
Yep.
So we always wish him well. So that's
so whatever it is, Adam, all the best with it, mate.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that seriously is about as much as photography stuff as I've got to talk about this week.
Really?
Yep.
Really.
And you got nothing else?
I've got like a couple of bits.
Okay.
But I don't know what they're about because I just quickly grabbed them.
Right.
No, I'm doing a photo thing on Monday night. I'm praying the weather behaves. Who can tell? This is the way it's going at the moment.
But, right.
I'm doing a body paint shoot for a breast cancer survivor.
Oh, cool.
So I've been involved with this calendar called So Brave for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Which is some wonderful body paint artists I know, and they put this calendar together of with people who survived body cancer, breast cancer.
Yep.
And but this one lady is part of her journey to recovery is she's wanted to do a shot for herself.
Right.
So she's asked Wendy, our this amazing body painter, if she would do a paint job for her.
Yep.
And then Wendy's approached me and said, "You know, would you help out and be the photographer?" So I'm volunteering my service as a photographer.
Yeah, nice.
I think she's flying in. I think she's flying in from Sydney.
Oh wow!
So she's coming down from Sydney for it, and yeah, it's looking forward to that. Yeah, so I think she's a 60-year-old lady. Well, she's going to have 7 or 8 hours of body paint, and we'll shove her in the water and hope to get hope to get a sunset. Yeah, what am I thinking? Yeah. Lunacy, you know.
Yeah,
it's if I leave the Sony with the Tamron lens at home, it'll be awesome.
Right,
we have an awesome sunset, so maybe I'll do that. If not, I'll just put a fake sky in afterwards. I'll do a sky replacement. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so that's one photographic thing I'm doing that's not bloody Tamron lens related.
Right.
I did see something on Facebook this week as well. I'm just speaking of sky replacements. And this is a photographer who'd done this shot and he'd replaced the sky. It took him like 40 minutes in the shot. And he says, sky replacement image, source Google. So he's not crediting anyone. I felt like going to town on him saying, yeah, good on you. Thanks for stealing someone's photo.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't be bothered. It was just like, yeah, just not worth it. But speaking of stealing someone's photos, young Petapixel have an article up on a crowdsourced New York City hyperlapse. So a New York City hyperlapse made using 1,272 crowdsourced Instagram pics.
Oh.
Now, if you look up the word crowdsourcing, I think the crowd need to have some involvement.
Yeah.
Like it's a choice to be involved. This guy's just stolen 1,272 photos off Instagram. Yeah, and I'm not sure he hasn't reached out.
So a hyperlapse is sort of, you know, shifting across time.
Yes.
Are they at any kind of regular interval or is it just kind of jump according to what images he was able to find?
It's done very well, I'll say. He's got stuff like a taxi going down the street. He's used multiple people's photos of a yellow taxi going down the street.
Wow.
But place it enough in a way that it looks like it's the same taxi.
Right.
You know, so and all this sort of stuff. So he's done a great job. Apparently he said it took him about 200 hours to put together. He had to search through 100,000 images with their tags to get it right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty darn nutso other than that, you know. But yeah, so that's good. And then I just had to look at the comments because we go to these places for. And it wasn't very good, to be honest. The comments were a bit bland. But this guy's probably hit the nail on the head. He didn't crowdsource anything. And it's bad form to claim that he did. It's bad enough that working photographers are getting their work ripped off left, right with the fair use canard. And now people are going to claim crowdsourcing. It's true. I'm going to crowdsource some images to do something for Tamron. No. but yeah, if you remember the old Lisa Sard, she crowdsourced. She wasn't stealing people, so she was crowdsourcing. Now, I did see for anyone who's a bit of a diver among us, I saw this thing called Diveroid advertised. Which I know it sounds a bit, but yeah, if you do dive, this is an all-in-one solution for smartphone photographers. So it's a housing that you put your camera in, but that app, it seems to have a dive computer, a logbook, and also stuff all built into it. Yeah,
right.
But here's the amazing thing about it: is a Kickstarter project. Their goal was $10,000, and they reached that in 60 seconds.
Wow.
They're now up to $152,000 Australian dollars, so they're 13 times or so their initial. They've only been going 3 days.
Their target, yeah, right. They're
13 days ahead, yeah, which is 13 times above what their original target was, which is pretty good. No, okay. So it automatically syncs your photos with your logbook and all this sort of stuff. So yeah, when you can log your images to where you've been shooting and all sorts of stuff. So if you are a diver, I'm sure it's got you'll understand all these things.
Yeah,
and it gives you all the necessary diving information, such as depth, dive time, ascending time, temperature at a glance. It gives you all that sort of stuff on the screen whilst looking at the screen of your phone to take photos.
Yeah, right.
So it's like having a dive watch, I guess, but all on this one kit. So that looks pretty good. And for their Kickstarter's, say, $269.
Yeah, right.
To get the whole kit, which is, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
36% off retail price. So what does that make, like $399, would it be? I'd imagine. It's not
a third itself. Off, yeah. So, yeah.
Just have a look at their the things they've... How many people have sold? How many things they've sold to get all this money? All gone.
What's the project called?
It's Diveroid.
Diveroid.
So they had a crazy early bird offer, which was $213.
Yeah.
And there was 100 of those sold out, and then there's a $419 one for two. They had 50, so they're all sold out. Banks. That's where majority of their money's obviously come from.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's said if it's something you do a bit of, it seems a pretty cool bit of kit.
Well, even if you just want to go snorkeling, like even if you don't even have to be a diver, but even if you just wanted to go snorkeling around coral reefs and things, you know, this could be a great way to be able to get some underwater photos, you know, without having to invest in the usual rigmarole.
Yeah, look, I mean, you can buy like basic underwater housing kits, you know, yeah. Like this folding bags and stuff, but this does give you a lot for more your, information.
For your phone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there are $50, $60 bags you can buy.
Okay.
So yeah, if you're looking at doing something a little bit more regularly
or a bit deeper.
And you're wanting, you know, said to be able to log information about what you're shooting and all this sort of stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, obviously it's reaching a lot of people.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Then the last thing I've got is 10 tips I wish I knew 10 years ago as a photographer. Here we go. Let's see what he says. Build a website with a purpose. Oh, no, sorry. I thought they said it with a porpoise for a minute there. I couldn't get my reading glasses off because I said, I mean, I know they're cute, but it's going to attract many people. Well, yeah, obviously, if you're going to have a website, yes, have a purpose for it. That makes sense. I'm not going to read what he says because it doesn't make any sense. Buy one good camera and forget about gear at least a few years. Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Work on a long-term project. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm a big fan of that as a startup.
Right.
Yeah, I would. If you're working on a long-term project, you're distracted and doing other stuff, but that's not in the now. You know, if you're trying to start a business as a photographer, you should be right in the now and doing as much stuff, short stuff now that's getting finished work to people for them to talk about.
And building some awareness of you and your brand.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got no problem with you doing a long-term project, but not if you're starting out as a business.
Yeah.
You know, do that a bit later. Learn from the old masters. Well, that makes sense because that was all about light and a good story and stuff. So that's all pretty good. Do more than just photography. You need to offer more than just their ability to make intriguing photos. You should be able to offer a diverse range of products. For example, I also have products like lectures, photography workshops. Well, not if you're just starting out and don't know anything.
No.
Selling prints makes sense. Even tour guiding photography exhibitions. No, don't do stuff like that. Don't do it.
See, what I find conspicuously absent in that list of, you know, doing things more than just photography would be things like, you know, video for YouTube and stuff like that. You know, that is almost a prerequisite these days.
But I wonder if he maybe thinks this is stuff he should have known 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, YouTube wasn't as big. So it's not really relevant to now. So basically, the whole article is pointless now.
Right.
Because we don't want to know stuff that would have worked 10 years ago. We want to know stuff that works now.
Yeah.
So, you know, do more than just photography. Well, if you can do video, if you can do, 360 stuff,
yep.
I reckon it's pretty good. Drone.
Yep.
Yeah, photography. Yeah. So, yeah, that's all photography, but it's branching out from the normal frame of a camera. It makes sense. Pick a lane. If you just start exploring the art of photography, I always recommend try and get as many different sides as you can. But once you've experimented, you should try and figure out which style fascinates you the most and stick to it for a while. Well, that makes sense, I guess.
That's my Helsinki bus terminal analogy in practice again.
Yes, I agree.
Straight through to the keeper.
That's the band architecture in Helsinki you're talking about, isn't it?
Something good like
band.
That.
That's a good band. The Australian band architecture in Helsinki.
Don't
wait. You haven't heard them?
No.
Don't wait for the train of opportunity. Well, you shouldn't be on train lines to start with, frankly. Many photographers love the idea of being hired by high-end magazines and being sent halfway across the world to work on amazing photo assignments. That's not going to happen.
That doesn't happen anymore.
But if you're planning to just sit and wait for a magazine to approach you, I'm afraid you're going to be waiting a long time because that train's not coming.
Yeah.
If you should see what we're published in the media, you're better off producing your own work and then submitting it. Yeah. Good story equals cool images. The way I see it, photography is best described as creating the art of visuals. Your job is to not go looking for cool photographs, but unique characters with interesting stories. Well, it kind of makes sense if you're a people photographer, I guess. Yep. More than classic portraits. What is he saying here? If you mainly focus on taking classic portraits, you'll end up damaging one of the most important features a successful photographer portfolio can have, diversity. Well, it makes sense. Don't just shoot the head, shoot the bits.
Yeah.
And 10, you got into photography for a reason. It's probably the best one. Don't lose it.
Yeah.
This is probably the most important advice, so pay attention. You should have put that in caps. Range between using photography as an art to help us say something, enjoying it as a hobby, new way to look at the world. As you dive deeper, try not to lose track of that. Because, we know it's like people take up photography as a hobby and then people start asking them to do paying jobs and then it becomes a job and it kills their passion. Remember, and it goes for any art form, I guess. Remember why you got it. First place, our good mate Dave Oakley. I was talking to him last week, and he just about pulling his hair out. He just finished a 3-month job doing one image.
Wow,
painting one image, but it took 3 months. Yikes. So he said, "I'm never." And as always, at the end of a big long job, like it's never again, never again. Forgetting why you want to do that stuff in the first place, and then you let clients take over and clients demand stuff, and then you start doing stuff you're not necessarily wanting to do as much, and because at the end of it you hate it all, you stick with what it was the whys you did it in the first place. It doesn't mean you can't try other stuff, just that you're probably, if you realize fairly quickly that that's not for you, don't keep doing it. Go back to the initial stuff that meant something to you. Because how can you take photos of stuff that means something to you if you don't know what you want to say?
Yeah.
You don't know why you're doing it and what's the purpose and all that kind of stuff, So that's me waxing philosophical for the end of the evening. That's it. We're done. That's it. That's all we have to talk about.
That is pretty much
it. That's like a 12-minute video.
Jam-packed into 40 minutes of podcast.
Well, is it 40 minutes? Jeez, we waffled, didn't we?
Well, 30.
Yeah, we're taking bids, people. If you put in $10 into Bruce's PayPal, we'll drop it down to 30-minute episodes.
All right, mate.
We're done.
Well, have a good week.
Yeah.
Hopefully next week is better than this week.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll be back next year.
Yeah.
All right.
You're holding your hopes up, please.
Okay.
I'm still thinking March 31st. Not December 31st was a joke.
Right.
March 31st is still fairly firm. All right.
All right, mate. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Bye, everybody.
Shutters Inc. Another audio2.com quality podcast. For questions, comments and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.